Good morning. Glad to see each and every one this morning. Y'all pray for me for the subject I've studied. Y'all done preached to all week long. I just hope the Lord would give me liberty this morning to be blessed to put it together, that it would edify and glorify the name of God. Yesterday, by the way, we were trying to remember what Brother Ricky Harco spoke on. It's Romans chapter 7, brother. But I was trying to remember what I was going to find mind about having to deal with the flesh and deal with the spirit both together with you when you've been born again. But I want to bring before you this morning, I get often asked this question, and I'm sure you've been asked it also. What makes the Primitive Baptist different? What do y'all preach different than these other churches? And I've been asked that question a lot of times, and I hope and pray if the Lord be my helper this morning, I can give you a little bit of help being able to answer that question, or maybe I need to answer for yourself. If it makes sense and it fits the scriptures, you give God the praise, not Steve Milner, give God the praise because he has enlightened you to see these things. I think I'd like to go to, I've been trying to figure out which place best first to go, but I'll just have to sort of like jump off into the pier, so to speak. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. This is Paul speaking, and he was showing the authority that he had to preach in. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard my conversations past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. He goes on to say that I might preach it among the heathen, and immediately I conferred not with the flesh and blood. What he's trying to say is he was a very knowledgeable man in the Jewish religion, trying to work out his salvation eternally, trying to do these sort of things. He was a good Jew. Good at it. Knew all the law. Knew it very well. But he found out it was a man. He could not come before God until God revealed it unto him. Now, let's look at another place. Now, remember that. The main question, too, that we're asking is what's the difference? If you'll go to chapter 6 of St. John's, another place that old Baptist light. This is the words of Christ himself speaking. This is in chapter 6 in St. John. And Christ was speaking about him being himself being the bread of life. Verse 44 goes on and says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Where did it say he was taught of man? We are taught of God. I love my other brothers and sisters that are in these other denominations. I've got some brothers and sisters of the flesh that dwell in those areas. I have people I work with that are other churches. I'm not saying they're not children of God, but they're leaving off some of the truth. They're trying to figure out how to work themselves before God, like Saul did over yonder. Paul knew the religion such, he tried to work his way in to heaven. Won't work. We preach and teach that the only way you'll have an understanding gotta come from God. You have to be born of the Spirit to understand the spiritual things. We'll go over in Corinthians, first chapter of Corinthians. Read a little bit there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 plainly states about the knowledge. Chapter 2 verses, I'm going to start over at 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 13. Which things also we speak not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Your nature will not bring you before God. The only way you'll come to be able to rightly divide the spiritual things of God, God must reveal it unto you. It's of God first. We're born of, you know, we talk about being born again. Well, if you're born again, then you're able to comprehend. You're able to enjoy the Scriptures. You enjoy to serve the Lord and have a new heart, new desire in you to serve God. Up to then, it just don't matter nothing to you. You don't appreciate it. I can't make you be born again. Like I said last week or 2 weeks ago, all I can do is point to the Scriptures where these things come out of. That's all you can do to someone else, point to where it's coming out of. If it makes sense and they start absorbing it and start, okay, I believe I see a little of that. That's the Lord enlightening you and giving you a spiritual mind to rightly divide the Word of God. Not to divide it, to destroy it, but rightly divide it to put it in its right place. Right. Sort of like cutting a steak. I put a big old steak on your plate and you don't have anything to cut it up with. You chew on it maybe, but it's hard to... But if you cut it up, small pieces, break it up carefully, you're able to consume the food. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged on no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. It's another place. You know, I like what Brother Blakely said last week. I was listening to Brother Sonny Powell talking about you have two or more witnesses, two or three witnesses to establish something. So find two or three witnesses in the Scriptures if it fits.
That's right.
All right. So we all talk about Paul. We talk about Christ. Here's another place where Matthew wrote about Christ. Wrote down the words of Christ. Let's see, where was that? Matthew 16, I think, where I want to go. Y'all bear with me, I'll get there. Yeah. No. I didn't run away from her. Now, hold on a minute, I'll get there. All right. Excuse me. Matthew 11, verse 27. This is the words of Christ saying. 11:27 in Matthew. Give you a chance to get there. Y'all need to see these places because you need to be able to answer someone else. What's the difference?
That's right.
So if you've got to answer for them, not being boastful or trying to pound it into their head, show them where it is. Let the Bible speak for itself. Like I said, you point to it. There it is. Now let them try to explain it. Here it is. Now here's another great spot. All things, this is verse 27, chapter 11, verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. This is Christ speaking. What God gave him all things. And no man knoweth the Son, but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father. So the Son and the Father know each other. We don't know them, but they know each other. It's been known in the Jews. Jews knew that. You know, the Gentiles are getting to know it now. Anyway, Father and Son know each other very well. But the Father, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son. There's a comma right there. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. See, it's revealed unto you. To see the truth. To enjoy the truth. To comprehend. You know, we talked about over in St. John chapter 6 about Christ being the bread. Whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So you see him as the bread of your life. As the bread that you're able to consume and eat. Until you've been born again to have, may I use the word spiritual teeth, to be able to take in the food. Christ means nothing to you. But when you see how he is, the only way we can come before God is through the work of Christ Jesus. Through Christ. Let me go back to whomsoever Son, reveal him. All right, now, let's go back to chapter 6 in St. John. I know I'm bouncing around back and forth, but I'm trying to keep you in places that are very evident. That's the difference between us and the other denominations, is that Christ must reveal himself to you. He was Paul, remember him walking on the road to Damascus, thought he had religion down, thought he had it nailed. And when the Lord struck him down and revealed himself to him, he realized he had nothing. He counted all that actually as nothing. But when God, when Christ revealed himself to him, he's like, wow, it is of God. God must reveal it. John 6, 40, chapter 6, verse 65. And don't feel bad when you tell someone these truths and show it to them that they do turn away from them. Because even Christ, our Savior, when he was preaching these things, people turned and walked away from him. Let's read this. Verse 65 says, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. See, it must be given unto you to have life. Verse 66, and from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Wonder why sometimes we have just a few in number? I didn't say they weren't other children of God after. These other disciples weren't not necessarily children of God. They just refused to believe the truth. When Christ was even telling them, sometimes when you're blessed to see and show this to them, the difference that we believe that you must be born first, born again, before you have a desire then to follow after God, when you see that, a lot of this other scripture, it makes sense. It does for me. It helps me. Because I know my nature. Remember, let me finish up right here. Then said Jesus unto them, Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. That's important. This is not something Steve Milner dreamed up. These are the words that Christ showed and told us. He has the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? I'm not going to get into that part, but the thing of this, he must reveal it to us. There's another place I want to go to. I know y'all have read. Like I said, I preached this all week long, and I hope and pray I'm making sense of it for you and help you. When you go to Romans chapter 9, I know there's several places picked out, and each one of these is a sermon in themselves. But look, I'm trying to tie them all together to help you as a whole to see that it is not of your own desire, but it's by the grace of God. Like Brother Wood in his prayer mentioned about a gift. That is the gift of faith, the gift of knowledge is a gift from God. Recognize where it comes from. That's what we recognize. We come here today to recognize what God has done for us on the cross. All right. This is out of chapter 9, verse 16, out of Romans 9:16. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And Scripture says unto Pharaoh, even so this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he harden. Thou wilt say unto me, why dost thou yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? But nay, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall a thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? God causes. Paul says he was called. Christ called, reveals himself to us. He has control over us to reveal it to us. And when it's been revealed to you, what do you do with it? Are you going to ignore it? Or are you going to acknowledge it and enjoy it and eat it? Eat up the bread of life. Eat up the bread of Christ, what he's done. He has revealed himself to you. And he's molded you and showed you. And can a pot turn around and say, why do you make me dishonor? God is in control. He is in control of eternal salvation. He's in control of what? At the final trump. But now while we... let's see. What's that? I was going to pull out one. Now bear with me a moment. We are back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. I hear my other brothers from these other denominations. Now remember now, I love them. I think a lot of them got a lot of good friends, and they do us a lot of good, and they even help us on our fight sometimes. They say that you're a free moral agent. Let's shoot that one down. So if he's free moral, he can choose. He can choose eternal salvation or not. Well, let's look at chapter 2, verse 14. I read it earlier, but let's go back to it. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Whoa, wait a minute. The natural man? If a brother or sister can choose, then they got more power if it's the eternal part. But if he's able to decide to follow God or not follow God, he's already been born of God because there's a new enlightenment in him. There's been something showing him and telling him that there is a difference. Now I care for the spiritual things of God. I've been woke up, born again. But by his own personal nature, has no way to comprehend, no way to come before God because he is a sinful sinner and he is no good. We are no good before God of our own. But by God's mercy, he's enlightened us to know the truth. See, that's how that fits together. And in my mind at least, that's how he is a merciful God and he borns us again, not by our own will and our nature, but by the grace of God and God alone. Amen. And then when Christ was even speaking to them, no man can come to me except through Christ Jesus. A lot of folks didn't want to have it. Still today, they don't want to have it. They want to think, I got control on this situation and I can come on my own accord. Wrong answer. I love that thing on sound and things. You know, when you make a wrong answer. That's wrong. Because when you're trying to look at it there, that way, you're putting God, yourself above God. He has control of the pot of clay. And when he enlightens you, make you a vessel of glory, let's go on and shine while we're living here.
Amen.
Let's go on and use what he's given us. If y'all want to know where that was too, Jeremiah spoke in the 18th chapter. Jeremiah 18, if you want to read more about that potter and clay. Jeremiah 18. The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemeth good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. That's the reason he's used it over in Romans. He is able to control us and do what he wants to with us.
Amen.
Eternal. while we're living here, there is a will that God has granted us a will. He gave you a will. This morning you exercised. You got up. I know we got aches and pains. I know we got other things we want to go do. But we exercise the will also to serve in God, to get up and come serve Him and worship Him and learn more, try our best to learn more about Him, to give Him the praise, honor, and glory for what He has done for us, that we may have more enlightenment and more understanding about God and what He's done for us. Yes, He gave us a will, and He expects us to use it, and use it properly. We also have a will, too, to do wrong. Some of y'all, I don't know, Brother Wood and Sister Wood, were able to be over here, Brother Ricky Harker on chapter 7 out of Romans, talking about when you do good and we do evil, and evil seems to be always present with us, and even when we do good, as long as we're in this mortal flesh, that's what Brother Ricky brought out yesterday, there's always going to be a cross. Because we've been blessed to see the gospel truth, but yet we still got to deal with this nature in us, and it's always a cross. It's going to always be a cross fighting in your mind and your heart every day, all the time. Sometimes the truth, sometimes you do right, willfully, you receive blessings. So many times we give in to the weak flesh and go that direction. Didn't say we weren't children of God. We are children of God, but that we know there is a difference. So many of these other brothers and sisters don't seem to recognize that difference. But anyway, that's something else. But what we have is such a great blessing from the Lord. Paul spoke of it. Remember we read earlier about him saying that he thought he knew it. Thought he knew religion until Christ struck him down on that road to Damascus. Sometimes it takes that hard striking down to get some of our attention. But while I'm living here today, I want to praise Him for what He has done, because He loved me first. Remember, all these little scriptures, all these little pieces start fitting together. He loved me first. Over in St. John, 1 chapter 1 John, I think verse 5, He loves us. Chapter 5, He loves us first. You also find in Paul's writings too, over in the Roman letter where it talks about none doeth good, no, not one. All sin comes short of the glory of God. None seeketh after God. Our first nature doesn't seek God. But the second nature that's been blessed and given to us, being born again, does seek after God. And it's our duty to take our will that He's given us and to exercise it, that we may have a better knowledge, a better understanding, and live in the light of the truth of God, so we're able to walk in the house of God, to know the direction He's leading us, rightly dividing and seeing these things. That's what it's about. It's all about what Christ has done for us on the cross. And that's the reason it means so much to us. It means everything. I hope I've said a few things to you that have some value to help you understand what is the difference. The difference is we believe God reveals it to us. We're born from again from above. And when a child of God is obedient and recognizes it and walks and comes before, he's got a will now to follow the word of God, pick up your cross and follow in the gospel obedience, follow him in the baptism, just like his words teach us to do, to follow these things, we have a much happier life, much more satisfied life. We have an understanding. And we're still going to have the warfare. But it's a whole lot easier when you have the warfare of truth and have a shield that is wrought, properly taught, to withstand the fiery darts of the devil and be able to recognize when you're being attacked. But you've got a shield, and that's Christ Jesus. Like I said, I hope I've said something to help you. If I have, give God the glory and the praise and the honor. Because I'm just like y'all. I'm just like y'all. Every day I struggle with trying to make my will follow God in gospel obedience and gospel truth. It's a constant struggle while we're here. But He has the final say in the end. He will not lose a one of those God gave Him. And that's the reason you can be content with our brothers and sisters of the other denominations. In the final end, they'll be home and house in mortal glory with us. While we're traveling here, we wish that they'd be like the other and stay with us. so many of even Christ's own disciples walked away from him. But we love them and pray for them. And maybe one day, if they'll keep studying and keep working, they'll recognize where that truth comes from. Thank you for your precious time. God bless you.